This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource of pilots and aircraft owners.
Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb. We're with Joe Sharkey. You may recall Joe was a passenger aboard the Legacy 600 that was in collision with a Brazilian jetliner more than 5 years ago now, Joe. But this is one of those gifts that keeps on giving, isn't it?
Well, it sort of is, Russ. The litigation is still all over the place. The pilots, as you know, were convicted this year and sentenced to a criminal sentence, which then the judge then changed to community service. There's a big question about whether that sentence is valid in the United States, and certainly whether it can be enforced. As a lot of people know, I got caught up in this because I reported on it. I reported on this thing, having been there, actually. I reported on it in not only in a newspaper, but also on a personal blog that I started right after the crash. And the purpose of the blog was to try to deal with what I saw was this serious mistake in Brazil of rushing to criminalize the accident before the facts were in. But before I know it, I was sort of in a just this whirlwind of rage and anti-Americanism and what I thought of as xenophobiaism in Brazil. The upshot was that someone decided that I was guilty of defamation of Brazil because I had been questioning the way I thought this investigation was being mishandled in Brazil.
Now that's that's an actual legal thing in Brazil. You can't you can't diss the country, right?
You can't. That's sort of I've learned. You know, I've learned all this stuff subsequently. Yeah, there's this tradition of honor litigation in South America, with sort of this thin-skinned legal idea that if you criticize the country, you've dishonored it, and that is not only actionable, but it's actually a criminal offense, depending on how the various laws are applied. Now, of course, I'm an American writing in the United States, and I never, what I wrote was that I thought, and nothing's ever challenged the accuracy of anything I wrote about the way the Brazilians handled this investigation. And the issue, the legal issue, is, of course, I'm an American writing in the United States under the First Amendment and all the various free speech protections in the United States. What right does any foreign country have? I mean, forget Brazil. Let's say it's North Korea to say, Mr. Smith from the United States has written that North Korea is a tyrannical regime. We object to that, and we're going to sue for defamation, and then we're going to try to collect in the United States, which is essentially what they did in Brazil. They sued me. They made up charges. It took a long time to sort it out, but it turned out that what the charges in the defamation suit that was filed against me are things that were said on various websites that linked in one way or another, the kind of rat's nest that links and all become, that linked in one way or another to my blog or to the newspaper accounts. One of the charges that I said, Brazil is, quote, most idiot of all idiots. And that's actually in the lawsuit that was served on me. And I'm like, well, if I wanted to say something like that, I would have said it a little better. That's not even in really in English. If I called Brazil a banana, I mean, this is honestly in the lawsuit, banana. First of all, I wasn't even aware that it was an insult. But secondly, I never said, it turned out it was a Brazilian senator who said that in comments that were linked and linked and linked and ultimately linked to my plot. So, I'm now convicted of the crime of calling Brazil, quote, most idiot of idiots. And, while it seems
let's not forget that you're convicted of calling it a banana, too.
A banana as well, right. And other words like tupiniquin, a word that I didn't even know what it meant. And I'm convicted of calling Brazil tupiniquin. And it turns out that word means it's sort of an insult, but it's sort of like the word yank. And you have to really make a big stretch to make that insulting. But I that word is not in my vocabulary. Neither is banana as, an insult. If I'm going to insult somebody, I'm not going to use the word banana. there are much better Anglo-Saxon words. But, the upshot is that
But as funny as it is, I mean, to me anyway.
Not funny to me, by the way.
Yeah. Like, as funny and bizarre as it all is, there's a real serious side to this, though.
Yes, there is. And the issue to me, and the one I've been fighting, I think I've gotten my point across in Brazil, and that is, I'm sorry that, and by the way, I'm often accused of being callous toward the 154 people who died. We mourned those people, and there's not a day that goes by that I don't think of those 154 people who died in that jungle while seven of us on that business jet were, for some unknown reason, lucky enough to have walked away. We always think about that. Nevertheless, this thing has become, it's very anti-American in its nature. I'm talking about the litigation directed toward me. And the issue to me is, I'm an American, I'm writing in the United States, you don't have any right to come to my house, as they have several times, and serve me papers accusing me of dishonoring your country because I criticized it. If I were in Brazil, maybe I'd be subject to Brazilian law, but I'm not. I'm in, I'm in Arizona. So the issue is very much, and let's take me out of it. It's not just me. It's, if you're an American, let's say, blogger, journalist, researcher, a medical researcher, because there have been similar suits, not in Brazil, but elsewhere, on this kind of an issue, involving researchers, you write something in the United States, we have free speech protections, which are fundamental to our way of life in America, and some country decides, well, we don't like what Mary Smith said in the United States, so we're going to sue her under our laws, and then we're going to try to collect in the United States. Now, luckily, several of us who were deeply involved in this, especially a woman named Dr. Rachel Ehrenfeld, who was sued under the English libel tourism laws, worked very hard in recent years to get a new law passed, and the president signed it last year, that protects Americans writing in the United States or speaking in the United States. But, let's just talk about journalists. Let's talk about any of us, social network users. It protects us from these kinds of spurious foreign lawsuits that seek to apply the laws of any other country. I mean, let's say North Korea, let's say Syria, and reach into the United States and punish an American citizen for something that somebody in a foreign country doesn't like, even though whatever was written or said is completely protected under the U.S. First Amendment. That's a long way around the barn to say that, to me, this is a fundamental issue of free speech in the United States and for Americans, and my case is just simply right now the most visible one that these things are happening elsewhere, where foreign governments, foreign entities are attempting to reach Americans and shut them down.
Well, I don't know. I'd be tempted to just say, forget about it. It's Brazil. Who cares? But
right.
That doesn't seem to be an option here, though. Is that correct?
Well, it could be. First of all, I'm sort of I'm a stubborn cuss when it comes. I've been a reporter, and I don't want to say journalist. That sounds so grand. I've been a street reporter for a long, long time, 45 years, and the First Amendment really means something to me. And it isn't just that it protects journalists; it's that it protects free speech. And it's not just America; it's other countries with a tradition of free speech protection. I feel strongly about that, and I felt I needed to engage on that level. And secondly, when you're sued, as I found out, my initial impression would have been, it's just, ignore it. But you can't, because it's in a court. There are things. They've reached into the United States already several times and had process servers come to my house, always late at night, banging on the door, When I lived in New Jersey, the guy identified himself as a New Jersey constable. Well, that one, there's no such thing. And I knew that that wasn't true. But, I mean, you know, that's scary when somebody comes to your house. And I now live in the desert. And last year, the New York law firm that's working on behalf of the Brazilians sent somebody to my, you know, into my down our dark driveway to the house late at night to, you know, to serve us with papers. That scares you, you know. Even though you know you're right, it's still a little scared. It certainly scares your family. So that's sort of what I've been dealing with, but it's the reason I'm fighting. It's the reason I don't just, you know, say, oh, the heck with it and walk away and just ignore it, because I think it's an important fight to fight, and I think it's also important to let people know that these things are happening, that other countries who don't like criticism are trying to reach into the United States. And we now have a law that protects us from enforcement, but it doesn't protect me. Let's say I've just been convicted. Do I now have a criminal conviction in Brazil? That appears to be the case. And if I do, is that something, if I travel to South America, does that affect my ability to travel freely? Don't know. I mean, I'm protected in the United States. Am I protected in Mexico or Argentina or Chile or, you know, any other country that may have some kind of a relationship with Brazil and choose to enforce? Is there a warrant? You know, I don't know. All these things come up.
Well, always a pleasure talking to you, Joe, and a fascinating case that we'll be following. And it's Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb. Thanks for listening.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine. For more information on Aviation Consumer, log on to www.aviationconsumer.com.